The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Haunted Whisper, where I, your host, DJ Whisper, will deep dive into Spanish folklore and myth. Each episode will be dedicated to a specific myth, where we will discuss the myth itself and its origin. Hey everyone, it's DJ Whisper, and welcome to my very first episode titled La Llorona on this series on Haunted Whisper. Given its name, this episode will be dedicated to the tale of La Llorona, who is also known as the Weeping Lady. We will be going over a couple of versions of the myth and if we find any information about their origins. So let's backtrack a little bit from today's topic, and I wanted to talk a little bit about myself, because if I were you, as the listeners, I would want to know who this host is, you know, or what makes them think they have the right to talk about topics like these. So a little bit about me is that I have always loved myth and mysteries, and growing up being Hispanic, I grew up listening to a lot of myths, specifically Mexican folklore. And I would hear them from my parents, my grandparents, or basically anybody who was older than I was. And, you know, I really enjoyed listening to the stories, and it made me value storytelling a lot, because through storytelling, you get to learn about culture. You know, you don't have to really read textbooks about it. You can really just get the feeling of a culture by the storytelling that's going on. And I see storytelling as the most simple yet most significant form for someone to learn. So let's go back to La Llorona, and let's start with the actual myth. There are, as I mentioned, there are a lot of versions, and most of them relate to Mexican folklore, but essentially the key points are the same. It's about a woman who falls in love with a man who is of higher society than she was. They fall in love, they have children, and he ends up leaving her for someone else. And the woman is so hurt, so distraught, that out of anger or out of sadness, she ends up drowning her children. And when she commits this crime, she is consumed by so much guilt, so much remorse, that she ends up drowning herself. And as a punishment, because she can't enter heaven, she has to go look for her children, and in that place where she drowned them, or as long as it's going to take her to find her children so she can go back. But yeah, those are the key points. But obviously I'm going to read versions of the story, because I just don't like telling you how what it's like. I want you to hear it. So the first one is a lot simpler, and it's a familiar version that everybody kind of has heard of before. So it starts with a woman named Maria, who is blessed with natural beauty and who is determined to marry only the most handsome man she meets. And she would shun away anybody she saw that would not match her aesthetically. And Maria wooed a potential suitor by appearing aloof and difficult to win over, yet the couple eventually married and had two children together. The young man's thoughts began to stray, dreaming of his previous life, which was very wild, and he would always go onto the prairies. And other versions, the ranchero, also known as, you know, the farmer or the rancher, is actually unfaithful to Maria. And in others, she just resents his emotional indifference in comparison to the action he continues to bestow upon their children. So her children drown, and in many versions of the tale, it suggests that the death was deliberate at her own hands prior to drowning herself. When Maria is refused to enter the heavens without her children, she is forced to search the waters for the remains during the afterlife. So yes, this one's a lot simpler, but when I was researching about the myth, I actually found this version that I liked a lot more, because it had more of the native contrast, and I feel like the language is a lot beautiful, much more detailed. So it starts with a woman who had an affair with a Spanish gentleman. The relationship reached to the point where the woman gave birth to three beautiful children, whose mother devotedly cared for them. As this couple continued to hide from everybody to take advantage of their bond, their days of love ran between lies and shadows. After forming her family, the woman wanted to ensure that her children had a full-time father, which is why she asked the Spaniard to formalize the relationship. Due to the status of him being an upper-class member, he frequently dodged his request from this lover because he feared of what other people would say. After the woman's constant insistence and the man's refusal, sometime later, he left her to marry a lady from Spanish high society. Once the native woman found out, she was so devastated and so wounded by the deceit and the betrayal, she was so desperate that she took her children to the riverbank, where she gave them one last hug as a symbol of her love for them, only to sink them to death. Subsequently, she ended her life, and her conscience and guilt constantly tormented her. From that moment on, the painful cries of a woman are heard in the river where the event took place. Some people claim to have seen her wandering desperately with a deep cry of pain and regret for her children, usually saying, "Ay, mis hijos," or "Oh, my children." Her guilt does not let her rest. Her complaint is heard from the main square. People looking out the window of their residence describe a woman dressed entirely in white with a slim build and black hair. In Lake Texcoco, she is calling for her disappeared children. So I like this version more because I feel like it brought more, in essence, motherhood. How, you know, she's so distraught that, you know, she just can't go forward. And the other one, it just kind of states it, but this one, I feel like it describes it. And talking about the origins, there is actually not a lot about what could it be, but there's two solutions of maybe how this myth came to happen. And the first origin idea is that it's actually a reflection of writings of Fray Diego Duran, which was one of the Spanish evangelists during the Aztec Emperor Moctezuma II. And he was worried about the dreams that announced the end of his reign. So his ears were being filled with stories of nocturnal pedestrians who claimed to have seen a woman cry and lament. So he would ask them, like, why is she crying? Why is she in so much pain? Or, like, what is she trying to tell him? And the appearance of this woman manifested itself in Lake Texcoco, which was located in the capital of the Aztec Empire, Tenochtitlan, which is now current-day Mexico City. Another origin version is that it was based off of an indigenous woman named Malinche, who became a lover of the conquistador Hernán Cortés. It's said that she and Cortés had a child, a son, and that when Cortés was going back to Spain, he actually took the child with him, and she did nothing to prevent it. And for the natives, Malinche, which is also known as traitor, became the personification of betrayal as a result of losing her son without acting. And among the Aztec people, she did represented motherhood, but the gloomy side of motherhood, the one that symbolized mistreatment or degrading parenting. Because, again, she gave up her son to Cortés and she didn't fight for him. And seeing how these origins, or the possible explanations of how these myths happened, I find it very interesting because I feel like you learn the myth, you hear it, you learn it, and then you start telling it. But I don't think a lot of people understand where they come from. And I think it's the interesting part about cultures that, you know, it's a lot of storytelling. And specifically about this, I just find it so interesting how it brings important parts of history and of colonization, especially the colonization of Mexico by the Spaniards. And at the same time, it symbolizes motherhood, grief, regret, you know, the sacrifices one makes, or, you know, the regrets one has. And I feel like it just deep deeply unpacks a lot of cultural significance, because at the same time, La Llorona could be seen as the merge between indigenous beliefs and European ghost stories coming into one. And it kind of has a double meaning of blending the old world with the new world. And at the same time, you see the theme of a woman wailing, grieving her children, and motherhood and mother's pain can come across all cultures, no matter the barriers, no matter the language differences. Motherhood has the same meaning, and I feel like this myth enhances that. But then at the same time, it's kind of like a warning for children. So many Mexican parents actually invoke the story of La Llorona as a cautionary figure, warning children not to wander alone at night, especially by bodies of water, because she could easily replace her sons and daughters with you. And this explanation had me thinking a lot of when I was younger and my family and I would travel to Mexico. Our house was actually right by a river, and once the sun would set, it was a nonstop telling of La Llorona. And they would tell us, don't go near the water, don't go alone. You know, she's going to get you. We're never going to see you again. And it's like, as a child, you have people around you, you have kids around you, and all of you are scared because you're thinking, what do you mean? How am I not going to see mom and dad again? What's going to happen to me? And you're so consumed by your own fears that you don't notice your family member, or, you know, just a relative behind you, and then all of a sudden they just start imitating her cries. So it scares you completely. Like, it scares one child, the other child is scared because the other one screamed, and it's just constant tears, fear in it. And I feel like that's like a lighthearted meaning of the story, especially as a child. You see it as precaution, but once you get older, you actually start understanding the cultural richness the story has. And I just think it's so pretty. It's like, it merges so much into one. And the reason why I wanted this myth to be part of my first episode, because I wanted something simple, yet something that was easily translatable. And it just has so much that I think it's very easy to share with all of you. So yeah, that concludes my final thoughts on the myth of La Llorona. And it also concludes my very first episode of my podcast, Haunted Whisper. Thank you all for listening in. And as a reminder, the next episode will be about another Mexican myth called El Charro Negro, which is also known as the Black Cowboy. El Charro Negro is actually another Mexican legend about a ghostly, elegant-dressed horseman who appears at night to tempt travelers with wealth, only to drag their souls to the underworld. So please don't miss out. And remember, please don't go near any bodies of water alone, because you may never know what's lurking in the shadows. Thank you, and have a nice evening, day, whenever you're listening to this.